It's 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Wanda Coppedge. We have a special guest with us today. We're doing something different today. We are having the conversations that we normally stray from within our community, within our families, within our circle, but it's a necessary conversation. We've partnered with New Haven Health to have this conversation on erasing the shame, break the opioid stigma. And with me for this conversation, I have a brave man here who is a person in recovery himself, Mr. James Sweat. Thank you, James, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
James, I have to say you're the first step you've taken. You are willing to share your story. Thank you for being a part of this and opening up to us. As I mentioned to you before, whatever you're comfortable sharing with us, but how long have you been in recovery?
In recovery, a little over 3 years.
And what was the opioid that you were consuming?
Prescription medication.
Do you mind giving us a little backstory about how that journey began for you?
Okay, yeah, that's no problem. 2019, I ended up having to have back surgery because I had an annular tear, a herniated disc, and a disc bulge, and it was very painful. I ended up having to have spinal fusion surgery, so I have 4 screws and 2 rods in my spine for the rest of my life. I had to learn how to rewalk again. I was on the verge of losing everything, apartment, had no job, and I was in constant pain every day, so much that even at nighttime, I couldn't sleep through the night without screaming, waking up in pain.
Wow.
And the doctors prescribed me Percocets, Oxycontins to help with the pain, but nothing really helped. So that's kind of what kicked off my addiction. Just okay. trying to get through the amount of emotional pain, mental pain, and physical pain that I was experiencing.
When did you realize that you were possibly addicted to these opioids?
When, if I didn't have them, I'd be constantly in more pain. Like, it's a difference when you're just taking substances just because you want to feel something. But when you're taking some substances because you don't want to feel something, it's stronger.
Okay.
Right. So when I didn't have the medication that I needed, my whole body was in pain. I'd have constant headaches and laying in bed every day. And sometimes my legs don't work, or if they would work, my legs would give out while I'm walking. Like, it was just a lot to deal with. And I knew it was a problem when I was taking pills and drinking every single day because of the mind state that I was in.
When did you start to incorporate alcohol with the opioids?
When the opioids wasn't strong enough. It was probably like maybe a week or two after the surgery.
Okay. So 3 years, you get to the point, or tell us about that point where you said, all right, enough is enough. I don't need this, or something must be done to break away from these opioids.
I got tired of having to depend on something to not feel pain. I got tired of waking up every day and reaching for a bottle. You just get tired. Tired of doing the same things over and over. And you know, it's not bettering you. It's just trying to make it through each day. And then I got to a point where I said, I'm done. And I started realizing that I had some traumas I had to work through. So I started going to therapy. Mm-hmm. Recommitted my life to God. I wrote a book. And I started going to college to get my education, became a certified life coach to help people with the things that they have going on, you know.
I love it. I love when we turn our pain into purpose. And that's what you have done. Since you mentioned you wrote a book, you have to tell us the name of the book.
Oh, there's 2 books. So okay. My brand is Mental Ambition. The first book is Mental Ambition, A Guide to Upgrading Your Life. 3 main topics: understanding who you are, understanding people and your friends, because those 3 things shape up the mindset that you can have, along with real life stories from my life to back up the things that I say. Second book, Mental Ambition, A Guide to a Better Relationship. There's not a book out there that details this much stuff when it comes to relationships from beginning to end. It's understanding who you are, understanding men and women, how to pick a perfect partner, how to keep a relationship together, and how to know when it's time to call it quits.
I know that's
both available on Amazon, Walmart, and BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay. I want to talk about relationships like you mentioned, but before we do that, you list what you did to help you. When you reached that moment, did you just throw the pills away? Was there a process? Did you call someone other than you said you went to therapy, but did you talk to your doctor and say, I don't want to do this anymore? What was the very first step?
First step was just throwing them away. Just throw it away. Like, just because I threw them away didn't mean I wasn't in pain. I'd just rather be in pain than be on something else.
Mm. So while you were in pain, what was that like? What was that recovery process like for you? What'd you do?
Difficult. You know, I went from 240 pounds up to 325. So I was really big. But I started working out even through the pain, even through, you know, back spasms, even through my legs giving out, because it all started in the mind. If I made up my mind to say that I'm done, I'm done. And I got to figure out the best course of action to get through to the results that I want. Whether it's mentally or physically painful, I'd rather do it that way than to have to depend on something to help me get through.
What were your relationships like while you were enduring, going through?
As far as what?
Your family, your familiar relationships, your friends, co-workers, maybe, where you did say that you were unemployed for a while. So those people that were closest to you, did they notice a change in you while you were going through this?
They could tell that I was very depressed and going through a lot mentally. But the majority of everyone that was helping me, because, you know, I couldn't cook for myself. I could barely bathe myself. Like, everyone was super supportive. I had my family, had friends that come through and check up on me. You know, so I had a support system.
I'm glad you had a support system. Let's talk about that support system on the other side, because we know addiction is not like a here today, gone tomorrow. This is an ongoing battle for you every single day. Mm-hmm. What do you see on the other side now that you, and again, congratulations, reaching this side. What do you see from family? What do you see from friends and community members? Talk about the stigma that's attached to recovery now.
So now that I'm on the other side, when people are in active addiction, people forget that the people who are on any type of substance are actually people, right? We're all human beings, right? And just because someone is using a substance doesn't classify that person as X, Y, and Z. They're just someone trying to make it through each day the best way they know how with the information that they have, right? And just because someone is struggling with something doesn't mean that they can't eventually get over it and become a productive member of society. But then there are also people who have substance use disorder, and they are still productive members of society. Like, there's no addiction doesn't just plague someone who looks a certain way. There are functioning people who have opioid use disorder, and people who are alcoholics, and people who do all these things. People got to understand that just because someone is using a substance, that doesn't stop them from being a person. Treat them with dignity and respect, right? Even if they can't do it for themselves, because that you could be that one person to say, hey, I know you can do better. Hey, I believe in you. Hey, I'm here. Hey, do you need some resources so that when you are ready to get clean, I can help you? Be that voice. Don't be the voice of, oh, you're never going to change. You're never going to amount to anything. Because if you tell people those things, is that encouragement? No, that's going to cause them to possibly want to revert back to what they know for their comfort area. So treat everybody with dignity and respect, man.
I love that, James. I love that. I love that. I was going to say, are there any final words? But I think you just did it. What I will say is, you know, you said your family and your friends saw that you were depressed, and I'm sure they saw that you were in pain and you needed a lot of help. For those family members, community members that have someone in their lives and they may be missing the signs of a bigger issue going on, what would you say to them to be able to recognize it?
If you notice a change in someone's eating habits, if they're not liking to do the things they once loved to do, if they're constant mood swings, if they're angry all the time, if they're randomly outbursting in tears, or if they want to be isolated, these are some signs that you could look for. right? But when you notice these signs, just be there for them.
Yeah.
Go up to them. You ever want to help somebody so bad that you're like, you need to do this. You got to do this. I'm telling you to do this. But when you do that, what do? They pull away,
mm-hmm.
right? The best way to handle that situation is to say, hey, I'm here for you. Are you okay? Do you need anything? And leave it there. When they're ready to talk, when they're ready to open up, when they're ready to have some help, they will come to you. But when they come to you, have some resources available. If they need medically assisted treatment like Suboxone and Methadone, find some clinics. If they have if they want support groups, look at Connecticut Community for Addiction Recovery. Look at NAAA. If they want inpatient, find some inpatient programs. If they need intensive outpatient, find that. Have the resources ready so when that person's ready to come to you, you are prepared to point them in the direction for the help that they need.
Oh, James, beautifully said, beautifully said. And one of the resources I encourage people to visit, endstigmact.com. That's mm-hmm. endstigmact.com, and learn about the impact of stigma and also tangible ways each of us can help to end stigma. Like James said, talking honestly and compassionately about addiction helps our community grow stronger and safer. James, I say congratulations. I'm proud of you for recognizing, for wanting more for yourself, and now turning that pain into passion and purpose to help someone else. Love that for you. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.